It is the Riot Podcast Edition. I am Hudson, and this week on The Worst of the Riot, you actually get to hear a little bit of me. I was in for Nikki on Friday, and then, of course, Obadiah and Nikki were in full force for the rest of the week, Monday through Thursday, including they got to do an interview with Nolan North, who is Nathan Drake. Talk to him about all kinds of stuff and his new web series, and you get to hear that in this podcast, as well as tons of other stuff. And like I said, a little bit of me. Not that I want to make a big deal out of that or anything, but it's kind of a big deal. So, without further ado, enjoy this week's Riot Podcast.
This is some of the worst Riot you've ever heard. Ever. No, like worse than that. It's the worst of the Riot.
Have you ever been waiting to get something in the mail and it just never came?
Like you ordered something and it never showed up?
I don't know. Maybe. Or maybe, you know, your grandma's like, hey, I sent you a check. Because that's what grandmas do. Like, it's in the mail.
Just get it in the mail. Sure, I'll look for it.
Yeah. Like, Mama, I told you PayPal, okay? Good Lord have mercy. But it may not be your grandma's fault. It might not even be the fault, you know, overall of the United States Postal Service. It could be the fault of one person. Maybe in this case, one woman. Sherry Watanabe. She is a United States Postal Service employee who was out in the streets delivering the mail when she suddenly decided, this is too much.
Oh, one of those.
It's too much. That's a lot of mail, guys.
Every so often we'll get stories of mail people that just don't deliver. And what, did she keep it at home?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what they do. They just don't deliver the mail.
They say approximately 48,288 pieces of mail.
At her house?
Yep. Mm-hmm. So that was in her apartment. That's crazy. See, my thought is, okay, if you're going to be a postal worker that's not going to deliver mail, you can't store it. You've got to burn it.
Got to just dump it somewhere?
Like, you've got to get rid of it. So, though, knowing the law, maybe it's one of those things where if you're keeping it, it's not that big of a deal. But if you're destroying it, that becomes like some other federal crime that's way higher.
Like even worse of it. But I guess I just don't understand whenever we read these, they will know it's you. Eventually, you'll be found out that you're not delivering the mail.
Well, I mean,
unless you only deliver a certain amount each day in hopes that no one notices the larger amount that you keep at home.
Well, no, that would have to be it. It would have to be a matter of
you stop either, to do your route.
You either go completely off the rails for a month or something, or you are cutting your route short every day by like an hour or something.
But not the same part short each time.
You'd have to rotate it.
And that's more work.
Way more work.
Than just delivering the mail.
Just get it out there and go home, whatever.
I don't understand.
Because, I mean, Nikki's right. If it's the same house that never gets the mail, you're busted.
Eventually someone will say something.
But if, you know, you rotate it out and like maybe once a month that house doesn't get any mail.
Well, I was thinking once a week.
Okay. All right. Well, I guess it depends on how big your route is. And I don't know how big those routes are.
I would just assume that, again, eventually you'd be found out and she was found out.
She was definitely found out. So they 48,000 pieces of mail?
In her apartment.
Where are you living? And if you hate the mail, you've grown to hate it, now it lives at your house.
Maybe it's a hoarding problem.
Oh, you think so?
It has to be.
You're just like, I just need more.
Like, unless you think that those 48,000 pieces of mail are your friends. And you couldn't just deliver them to give, like, those were the special ones.
You're just like, oh.
And they had to live at home with you.
Here's ESPN Magazine from November 14.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorites. Sometimes when I get especially lonely, I talk to it.
So, of course, you couldn't deliver it to someone who wouldn't love it as much as you would.
Well, you guys are just going to, what, take it into the bathroom?
And then throw it away?
You're sick. This is a person with thoughts and feelings and dreams.
I guess I don't want to know the reasoning behind some of
this. No, I want to know. I want us to get a psychologist in there. I want somebody answering the hard questions.
Figuring it out.
At the very least, asking them. So she began, here we go. Watanabe was hired as a mail carrier in June of 2006, and she began collecting large quantities of mail in 2011. And it looks like
the rest is history.
Well, the court filings are just now being made public. So this actually happened in 2013. It's taken this long for them to come to some sentencing stuff.
It takes a long time for paperwork.
I guess it does. So
just like it does for the mail.
The mail was seized in late 2013. So it was about 2.5 years worth of accumulation over that time. So
I don't understand.
2.5 years.
And of course, you're just like, well, I never got the bill, and they're not going to believe you.
They never believe you.
That's why, of course, all your stuff just gets emailed.
They're like, oh, look, we're just going to have to go ahead and put on that late charge there, buddy. What? Let me guess. Your mail carrier's not delivering
the mail? No, okay. Well, I'd go back and take care of it.
The Riot reminds you that if you stay in school, you'll never have to pay back those student loans. You're welcome. Radio U.
Want to say what's up to Isaac. He just hit me up on Facebook and he said, hey, Obadiah, I just got a computer and Steam and I want to buy some games and I need 3 recommendations.
Oh, what a perfect email.
It is, but I am paralyzed.
What, just because you have to only do 3?
Okay.
Oh, you can do this.
No, wait, Nikki. All right. Somebody comes to you and says, I want you to recommend 3 movies.
Yeah.
And only 3.
Yeah. Pride and Prejudice, Shaun of the Dead, and Hot Fuzz. That's not hard.
It's too quick.
That's the only 3.
You haven't, but you got to consider genres. Mm-hmm. You've got to consider a lot of different things. Like, you have to really, really think about it.
No, I'm good.
The first one that I've landed on that I feel like is just a no-brainer is BioShock Infinite.
Sure.
That's just like, boom. Somebody says to me, I want to play a game. That game's got story. It's got the action, while not perfect, is still pretty great.
It's got heart.
It does. I mean, the end. That's another one. The end of that game, it's like The Last of Us. That's a PlayStation game, so we can't recommend that.
I think you should also.
PC.
I know you went to more independent games at Christmas. And
I did.
This
I
year,
loved them.
I feel like you need to pick a smaller, independent, cheaper game as well.
I got to throw one in there. So like BioShock's a big studio game.
Yeah.
So then you need something small. And I thought about, what was it? Firewatch, I think I played. I really enjoyed that. But see, if you can handle a little mind-bending horror, which wasn't like horror. It was just like...
Suspense?
Yeah, kind of like crazy. What was that called that I played? Where you're in the underwater thing and it's the brain copying thing. What was that called?
Well, I can't help you with that one.
I'm going to have to look it up.
But does someone remember it?
Does anybody else pay close enough attention to what I'm doing with my time that you remember the name of that? I'll look it up.
I was hoping they actually played it and they know by your description.
Yeah, I can't remember. I'll have to look it up. I've got it right at the tip of my tongue. And then... And so maybe that... And now we're stuck at, what's the third?
The third and final choice?
Spot. He says he also likes some racing games.
Well, I'll go with one of those.
Which,
you
yeah.
get as many options if it's just PC?
I'm really thinking about this. So this is the kind of question that if you ask me, you could ask me things like, should I marry this person? And I'd just be like, yeah, whatever. Fine, do it. But you ask me, you know, should I, which 3 games? And it's like, Come back in a week.
I'm going to have to think and give this one some time.
Come back in a week and I'll have answers for
you.
Well,
it's an important question. It's deep.
It is an important question.
Maybe
and it
you
does
give them
cut
3
deep.
And then add a couple extras.
Like honorable mentions?
Yeah.
Here's your top 3 in no particular order. Here's some honorable mentions.
But if you make it through the top 3 and you still have some cash and time, then go to this one.
Like, for example, Batman Arkham Knight. Is that too mainstream? You know, you tell somebody it's something like that. I liked that game a lot, actually. I mean, you jump on the man bat. That's awesome. And you do that. That's great. So, I mean, that seems like a
that's
great
an
pick.
Option, that is.
It's tough.
Hey, you know what? You just keep working on that over there.
I mean, this
you
is
just
my,
let the show just keep working. It's fine. We're good.
This is my whole morning.
No, you have something to work on.
I'll tell you what. If you guys got any suggestions, you can tweet them at us. You can whatever. Just communicate to me. Riot.radiou.com. Isaac needs 3 games.
Well, we can't just do this ourselves. So we're going to need some help.
And Nikki, some questions are bigger than any one man or woman. Okay?
Let's take all of the most mind-numbing things the Riot has ever said and play them again.
It's a stupid idea, but I love it.
It's the Riot on Radio U.
Let's talk about millennials. Depending on what you read, millennials are, first off, what is that now? Is it 18 to 35, or are they getting older than that?
I think that's a millennial.
All right, 18 to 35. There are all kinds of things like millennials are entitled. Millennials are going to cause the death of all of us. Millennials are going to save us. I don't know. The old people write about you all the time in Bloomberg. And I'm reading about...
Which is not for millennials.
I know. All right. Well, this is different. This is from CBS Watch Whatever. CBS says that the millennials are the reason why the soap industry is struggling.
Oh, for soap operas?
No. No, oh. Nikki, just soap.
Well, you said CBS.
Okay, that's fair.
So I thought, like daytime television?
No. I'm talking about
soap, as in like the bar of soap. They say especially between the ages of 18 and 24, nobody's buying bars of soap.
You're buying soap wash.
That's what I use.
Like the all-in-one?
That's exactly right. Start at the top, just let it drizzle all the way to the bottom.
It's like a car wash.
It's done.
And then you're done with your shower.
Absolutely done. They say that sales declines are at like their worst ever when it comes to an actual bar of soap. And they say, given how much people in that age bracket don't like soap, that the future of the bar of soap, not good. Now, I shouldn't say no. I shouldn't say no soap. Like, they're still using soap, but...
not bars of soap.
Yeah. In fact, do you know the age bracket with which bars of soap are the most popular? Men over the age of 60.
What about for women?
Doesn't say.
Oh, I use a bar of soap.
Do you really?
I go back and forth.
A bar of soap?
I don't want to use a loofah.
Why not?
I got tired of it, and then I felt like the loofah, like on a different level, was never going to be clean enough.
I will tell you.
Like, we're supposed to change it out so often, and no one ever does that.
I had that question even this morning. I was like, you know, I've had this thing for a few years.
Yeah, and I don't think we're supposed to let those go so long.
You're supposed to have it for like a month or something.
And when you get
expensive.
But when you get the new ones, they're too rough on my skin.
That's exfoliating.
No,
people pay extra for that.
And so then when you finally get comfortable with it, it's been 3 years, and you know that it's just germy.
And think about all the festivals and things you've done and all those, just a little bit of that dirt on a subatomic
stays
level.
There.
It's right there in the loofah.
Which maybe that would help you fight like infections, which might be, I do need to switch back to. But if not, I switched to...
You need help fighting infections.
I know. So I switched back to a bar of soap and I just felt like, oh, it's a bar of soap.
But
apparently,
don't you think
I'm
a bar
like
of soap is
old
also?
Man.
You are. I've thought.
No, because it's my bar of
your
soap.
Your cough has sounded like a 60-year-old smoking man.
No, it doesn't.
For a couple of weeks, yeah. So, but it's fine.
I'm so much better today than I was Friday. So yeah. Every day is just a step forward in a healthy direction.
All right. Well, look, the deal is the soap industry is talking to all of us and it wants us to go back to buying bars.
Not soap as in like body wash,
mm-hmm.
But they want you to buy a bar of soap.
Yeah. Sales of soap, bath, and shower products are actually on the rise. They're up 2.7%.
Yeah.
At least they were in 2015 over 2016.
I also like bars of soap because they're so cheap.
Yeah, but like when I get that big old like
I can't wash my hair with that
Old Spice stuff, whatever.
No, that is an all-in-one for you guys.
I know.
I still have to buy like shampoo and conditioner.
Yeah.
So I can't use the all-in-one wash.
Listen how filthy girls are. How many specialized products they require. As a man, I need one thing. Clean. Done.
Proof positive that the geeks are winning. It's The Riot on Radio U.
Every time I hear that Lacey Sturm song and we say, like, I'm not laughing, I think, well, she's obviously a listener to the show. Because no one else is laughing either.
Oh, come on.
It's just some real talk,
no,
okay?
No, I think every once in a while someone laughs.
Chuckle.
Chuckle there,
a
yeah.
Tee-hee.
Like a, oh, I can't believe. And
a
then,
snortle?
Yeah, something small. But okay. You got to start somewhere.
If you've been listening to the show for very long, here's something you know. I am deathly afraid of sharks. And that's good. You know why? Because they can kill you. They can. They will eat you. Now, the shark is a majestic creature that's really been very
super important to keeping it balanced to the ocean and all the life.
And they have to eat, and you're in their house. So, you know, well, I don't eat people that come in my house, but it's cool. It's still majestic. The majestic shark. Well, there was a photo that several of you sent me over the weekend of a guy off the coast of Augusta, just south of Perth in Australia, who supposedly is the great white shark whisperer.
Ooh, yes.
He's able to put his hand on a great white shark and it just kind of goes to sleep.
Well, they sometimes say, and I don't want to find out.
I'm not trying it.
But if you hit a certain spot on the nose of a great white, it sort of hypnotizes them.
And they'll kind of leave you alone.
And they kind of leave their mouth open and they kind of just go like, and they'll just kind of hang out there for a moment.
Yes.
So some people will try to, especially off boats, get a shark to come up and then they'll try that trick and it's a perfect photo op.
Oh, and everybody thought like, dude, this guy.
Well, with this photo that was passing around, it's impressive.
There's a photo of this guy doing this, and everybody's like, man, he knows exactly how to do this. We need to be more like him. And it turns out that it's fake. he and some friends, they had a dead Mako shark.
It's
which,
not
you know,
even a gray white.
You know what? Like, how many of us have a dead Mako just laying around?
Well, I think they found one in a net.
And so they ended up using it to make it look like he was a shark tamer. Because the photo's taken from a very specific angle in a very specific way to make it look like he is, in fact, taming this shark.
They had been untangling it from a line. And while it was still hanging out on the line, they took the picture, so it was still there.
Mm-hmm. So that shark dead, this guy alive, and he has been asking people to please take the photo down because he says that, look, this was just a joke between friends. It was never supposed to go viral. It wasn't supposed to go anywhere.
It got away from them.
It was just supposed to be between me and a couple of other guys. But lo and behold, when your shark taming powers are such, of course people are going to pass it around. But it's not real. So if you had already booked tickets to Australia so that you could go and tame the sharks with this guy, not real.
Now, next time you look at these shark photos and you're like, is this real or not? Some tips to be able to tell if a shark photo is real. There'll be disturbance in the water. And for this, the water was
calm.
Perfectly calm. The shark almost never goes at you from in front of you. If you go against a shark, it'll come up from below.
Cowards!
So you won't see it at the angle normally for a picture that is being shown for this. It comes from a greater depth. So they knew that it was either...
Just like the Jaws poster.
Yeah, they knew it was either a dead shark or was being towed by a boat. So that's just some tips to look forward to.
Okay, well, there you go. Nikki, thanks for those important photo fakery tips.
Well, I know everybody, like for me, everybody sends me bear stuff because I love bears.
Yeah.
For you, since you're afraid of sharks, everybody sends you any shark story.
They do.
So now you can be like, no, that's real or it's fake.
See, and that's how you know, you guys have seen that picture of the shark that's like eating the guy who's in the San Francisco Bay or whatever.
The helicopter one?
Yeah, that's a real picture because the water is disturbed and it's coming up from underneath.
That's not real.
It is
real. That one is obviously fake.
The government doesn't want you to think it's real, but it's real.
I didn't think you'd think that one was real.
We save the worst of the riot for those special times.
Well, when you take your naps or you come in late or don't come in at all.
Radio U.
Nikki, this is why you and I will never be good business seminar, motivational speaker, come see us at the airport hotel kind of people.
Yeah, I don't think we want to be, but it's just nice to know we also can't.
I've got it right here. A guy named Donald Miller, author of Blue Like Jazz, and then a bunch of other books that I can't remember what they are.
Is he a motivational speaker? Or is he just still an author?
He's moved into, like, he's an author, but, like, he does seminars and online classes and, like, all this kind of stuff that he does now, which is great. I do appreciate the fact that a lot of people have said to him, like, well, we really liked the Donald Miller from that book. And he talks about how, like, well, that book represents when I was having a very hard time, and now I'm over that. So I'm doing something else now. Which, that's a whole other that's a whole other subject. Like, there was a time in my life when I was struggling. I'm not struggling anymore. I'm sorry that you like struggling depressed me better than you like happy adjusted me.
Yeah. It must be like, you know, with a band makes most of their money when they go out and tour.
Yeah.
So for authors, they must make a lot of money too, or most of their money when they go out and tour.
Yeah. Well, Donald Miller tweeted this. And when I read this, I thought, this will never be this. We can't be this. He says, The last few Sunday nights have felt like Christmas Eve.
Oh, yeah. No,
I can't wait to wake up tomorrow. I love my job. Tomorrow, more editing. It's fun.
Who is this guy?
I feel like now he's lying.
No, that's like, that's just more than lies. I don't know what that
Sunday
is.
Sunday night feels Sunday like
night's
Christmas
the
Eve.
Worst ever.
It feels like Christmas Eve.
Are we doing the next day and work?
He's saying to work on Monday morning is like Christmas.
That's his problem. He has to work that out. Maybe he's just lying till you fake it till you make it. They say that all the time.
Okay.
If you hate Sunday nights and you dread Monday, they say that you just have to do whatever it takes on Sunday night to make your body believe, like, I'm so excited for the next day, even if you don't mean it.
Okay. All right. Well.
And you can lie in your tweets.
Okay. Now, going along with what you just said, here's the question I would like to ask you.
Yeah.
Do you think on Sunday nights that what we really need to do is set up the, because you and I love Christmas.
We do.
We do love it. And Donald here is tapped into the Christmas spirit. So is what you and I need to do on Sunday night, do we need to set up the Christmas tree and get together? And we're just like, oh, put the cookies out. Santa is coming.
I think that is a life of lies. Like, that's too many.
You think it's too, you do, but you fake it till you make it.
Yeah, like verbally, but I don't need to bring out props and stuff.
Oh, I think I'm going to need props.
I don't need a Christmas tree every Sunday.
I'm telling you right now, if you want me.
Yeah.
To say, hey guys, tomorrow is Christmas.
It's like, okay, Christmas is in a cup.
Think about this. On Christmas Day, most of the time, like most days, I'm like, I just want to stay in bed. I want to whatever. But Christmas is the one day every single year that I'm just like, oh guys,
you want to pop out of bed.
Let's get up. Let's get the presents. And today the present is going to school or going to work.
Yeah.
That's the present, Nikki.
I want to tell you that when I heard it's
Donald. The present is a gift.
When I heard you say the tweet, was it Donald Miller?
Yeah.
About he's so excited that it's Sunday night's like a Christmas.
Like Christmas Eve.
And then Monday, he's so excited to start again. I actually got a little mad because I don't understand that. And I feel like he's lying to us all. Like for a sponsorship or something. Like that's a sponsored tweet.
What, by Christmas?
By the North Pole. I don't know what it is.
Santa's
but
Santa has a tweet budget. He's buying up tweets from authors.
I feel like it can't be honest.
You don't think so?
No, and I don't like the man.
For doing that. Okay.
So he's dead to me.
You know, I didn't see Donald out running in my neighborhood at 4 o'clock this morning. That was weird.
Well, he's got a, I mean.
It's because I wasn't out running. That's why I didn't see him. See what I did there? It's so.
Okay. I gotcha. All right. Well, let's all just have a good day. It doesn't have to be lies like that. But, you know, we can have a good day.
You know what?
Now, that sounds crazy.
Woo! Guys, it's Christmas. Every Sunday night is like Christmas Eve.
It's still August.
Christmas! I believe it, Nikki!
And you see what this tweet spread? That is not good.
Yay!
You don't follow that man anymore, okay?
You want me to unfollow him
right
now?
Yeah, I think you need to.
Okay.
It's The Riot with Obadiah.
I'm the professor.
It's The Riot with Nikki.
I bet she's probably a highly intelligent female bodybuilder.
It's The Riot on Radio U.
So it's not time yet for the Texas State Fair. At least I'm pretty sure that it hasn't started yet. Let me double check.
That's one of the biggest ones where a lot of the main foods, like, oh, what's the fair foods everybody wants? But it's the one that comes latest in the year, so I always forget about it.
That's because it's freaking hot in Texas.
They have to put it in a perfect spot.
The Texas State Fair starts September 30th, but it is one of the largest state fairs in the United States. And one of the things about it is that it has become this haven for foods. Now, you, of course, all fairs have fair food, et cetera, et cetera. But the thing is, the Texas State Fair, they say, is the one that you watch, and the foods that are big at the Texas State Fair this year are the ones that will show up at your state fair next year.
That's how it works.
And so they had the Big Tex Choice Awards over the weekend. What that is, basically, some of the food vendors at the Texas State Fair present their food. And then I know. It's a month
before the competition.
And they're already doing this.
It's a big thing.
And you would think it would happen during the fair, but it doesn't. So here's what you got. Some of the big award winners. Here are the finalists, then I'll tell you the award winners. The Caribbean Pineapple Cornucopia. It's a scooped out pineapple filled with grilled chicken, shrimp, rice, salsa, and pineapple rum glaze.
That sounds pretty good.
It's probably all right, but
that
doesn't interest me.
I don't need the carved out like pineapple boat sort of thing, but
okay.
You put it in a bowl.
I got it. All right. What about a deep fried bacon burger dog slider on a stick?
There's a lot to that.
It's a like skewer a corn dog? Of fried hamburger, hot dog, bacon, topped with fried pickle.
No. Maybe.
All right. Deep fried pulled pork Funyuns and dings.
Now, what's a ding? What's a ding?
I mean, we have, but I don't know if that's
what
it is.
I know what a Funyun is.
Okay, it's a Funyun with pulled pork, pepper jack cheese, pineapple, and bacon battered and deep fried.
So, all right. Well, maybe that's, dings is a term for maybe something else in there.
Okay, we've also got, this list is getting long to me. Here we go. Fernie's Down Home Chicken Pot Pie Pocket with mac and cheese dip. They're like, you know what, guys? Throw everything in there. That's what it's starting to sound like. Like, everything you can get, put it all in there.
And the dip is mac and cheese?
That's what it says. Pot pie deep fried, served with a sharp cheddar cheese sauce. Okay. And all right, this, let's get to our two big winners. Best taste.
Yeah.
The best tasting thing they said they had at the entire thing was fried Jell-O. No?
Maybe.
Fried cherry Jell-O topped with powdered sugar, whipped cream, and a cherry.
Sure.
I think I guess. It sounds gross, but you know what? Sometimes.
I bet you it's good, especially that really does remind me of the Monte Cristo with the jam.
Yes.
So like if you put the jelly in, you like the deep fried sort of thing.
Uh-huh. All right, here we go for most creative. The State Fair Cookie Fry. All
wait,
right.
Wait, what's that about? Bring it in. Everybody get closer.
Here we go.
It's cookies and fries.
These are cookies shaped like French fries, then deep fried.
Oh, no, no, with a dipping sauce.
Available in two flavors, chocolate chip or sprinkles, served with strawberry or chocolate dipping sauce.
I love that so much.
You know what I love about this is that the guy that created these, he's standing there with his wife being presented with the most creative award. They're weeping. They're that excited to have won this award.
Well, do you want to post the list at our Facebook page?
I certainly can. You guys can stop by and see it.
You really should be looking at the cookie fries.
I'll tell you, I'll eat those cookie fries. Pass those on over. I want the chocolate ones with the chocolate dipping sauce.
Ooh, looks delicious. So if you want to join us at Radio U Riot, that is our Facebook page. You can find the list of the Texas State Fair items that won the competition and a few others that were just an honor to be nominated.
I was hungry before we talked about this.
But cookie fries?
Now I'm so hungry.
Mm.
I want a cookie fry, Nikki.
I want all of them.
You're hearing it for the first time, and it sounds terrible. It's the worst of the riot on Radio U.
Let's talk about, okay, I don't know if this is true or not, but there's a lady in Kentucky that says, hey, I found worms in my McDonald's food.
That's what she's saying?
Yeah, and she does have video of the little worms crawling out.
No, it's not real.
Well, the part about it that bothers me the most is, I was talking to some friends last night, and they were like, you know what, we should... When's the last time you ate at McDonald's? Which, I mean, if you take breakfast off the table, I don't know when was the last time I had McDonald's.
Sure.
Okay, we should go to McDonald's
But
tonight.
Everybody does it.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody's going to McDonald's.
You can act like you don't, whatever.
You're
at some
too good.
Point, you've gone to
You're
McDonald's
going.
Like it's happening. So I was actually, we're supposed to meet at McDonald's tonight.
Yeah.
And looking at this, I don't know.
Maybe not.
Of course, this is McDonald's in Kentucky.
You're rolling the dice.
Like, you know, Kentucky.
And you just don't know, like, where the worms came from.
Yeah, you think maybe it fell out of her hair or something?
Well, no, what was this? Was it a hamburger or chicken?
Do you have worms in your hair right now, Nikki?
I do not have worms
like,
in my hair.
Do you feel a little, like,
I do not,
like
and don't you
thing?
Dare. Do you like, not dare.
Just, like, at the base, right back?
No.
No? You don't think it's worms? You should probably
shame.
Go.
Shame on you.
Wait, did you say shave?
Shave
your head off? Like
you.
Shave your hair? Just
you know I'm still sick. Don't do that. I'm not
mess,
all like...
mess with you?
Don't mess with my head. It's you not
think,
all there.
You think the worms are why you're sick?
I just don't know. It's hard, best, guys, some days.
Here's the best part is, like, we're all laugh, happy, joking right now. But tonight when Nikki's in bed just laying there, she'll be like, what does that feel? What is,
does anybody
what
hear that noise?
You hear that? Are they in my ear? It's crawling in my ear. So
shake your head out.
Did you get a good head itch in there?
No, shake your hair.
Yeah, Mayfield, Kentucky. She says that she went to McDonald's on Sunday, got some food for her one-year-old son, and when she was about to take a bite of her hamburger, a live worm fell out. Now, keep in mind, it's not like an earthworm. It's like a little green worm, so it'd be way easier for you to eat it and never know.
Oh, like a food worm?
Yeah, like one of those.
I found one of those once in green beans. That scared me.
She says, this is seriously a problem. They need to hire new employees, or the employees should be trained properly on how to handle food.
Well, that's never a bad thing.
You know, McDonald's, they say, has some of the best training there is. They did give her a $10 gift card, or they offered her one. So, you know, something. Hey, man, $10 at McDonald's?
Oh, no, that's fine. I don't know about the story.
Yeah, feels fake to you.
I don't know. I'll have to look at a picture. I'll have to watch the video.
I'll tell you this. If Big McDonald's wants us to do something, they're going to have to give us more than a little
$10
bit of $10
card.
Hush money.
Oh, no. We need some more.
You're going to have to.
I need the Happy Meal thing full of money.
I feel like I need Happy Meals for life.
And I want cash, too.
And I don't want to get any mouth out of you when I come in here to get my free Happy Meal either.
You don't want to be known as that guy because they're spitting in your food because you're the one that
you go right ahead.
Caused the problems.
Tell you what, you go ahead and spit in that, and then we're going to talk about what's going to happen after that.
In order to build muscle, you need protein. Protein is in eggs. Eggs are in cupcakes. You need cupcakes. It's The Riot.
So I didn't see this until after the show yesterday, but I feel like we have to talk about it. Did you see the reindeer thing yesterday in Norway?
No, I did not. Were they playing games?
Oh, dude, they were playing so many games.
What were they doing?
Well, I don't know if you heard about it, but Santa was coming out to pick from the reindeer.
Oh, for the upcoming season?
Mm-hmm, because we are definitely headed. And so they all went out for their reindeer games, and things were a little different this year.
Oh, the thunder or the lightning thing.
Santa rolled out of his sleigh and he's like, 10 of you make it. The rest of you die.
I did see the picture of this.
And so what ended up happening was Santa took the best of the best and then he laid waste to the rest.
It was terrible.
300 reindeer dead from a lightning strike. They say when... It's not... Why is this funny to me? But like
it's tragic, especially when you see the picture. The ground is littered with dead reindeer.
It's the weirdest thing you've ever seen. So what happens is when Santa shows up, all the reindeer come together.
Yeah.
No, that's not it. When the lightning storm started, all the deer became frightened and they all got together.
So they kind of clump up with each other.
That's right. And then they're all there in one tight little clump and all of a sudden, boom, one of them gets hit. And then the lightning, they think, just jumps from
through.
Reindeer to reindeer.
And then before you know it, so many of them are dead.
300 dead reindeer.
What are they do with that? How they clean that up? Or
I don't know, but I'm telling you right now, this is a movie. It is. Like, it's one of those things where it's one of two
the
kinds.
The one that makes it.
Only
that's one
the third kind. I didn't even think of that one. That's a great one. One reindeer mysteriously survives.
And it's like a Highlander thing.
Yeah, no, totally. I love that. Either that or maybe they are. See, I feel like it's apocalyptic for sure. Like the ancient Norse legends say that one day all the reindeer will die, but one will live.
Yes.
And that will be the one that carries us.
I think that will happen for like the first two or three, and then it'll become like more of a family franchise, and then the next one can speak suddenly, and he has to go to town
and
like find a family.
See, the other thing I saw here was that this could be like a revenge horror film.
Yeah.
Like Rudolph killed all these reindeer. You know what I'm saying? Because it was like, oh, you guys didn't think I was good enough for reindeer games.
He started the lightning, yeah.
So I got them all together for the biggest reindeer games thing ever. And this is totally that scene in Carrie. And then I shut the doors and I lit the fires. Or, you know, made the lightning.
Outside in the thing.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing is it could totally be like, I was also thinking like two reindeer cops.
Yes.
They come out and they're just like, the new guy's in the corner. He's never seen anything like this. Like
they came from the big city to go out to the country.
Right, it's like,
just to calm down, and they've never seen something this bad.
Yeah, they say it's a lightning strike. This was no lightning strike, kid. This reminds me of what happened back in Urgelsmock.
The reindeer elders are trying to
quiet it down. They don't want anybody to know.
But really, truly, it's tragic.
Yeah, it's awful. I'm sorry, guys. It's rough.
It's like the whole population.
Someone's got to clean that up.
I think it's a fire.
You think so?
A big, big, big fire.
We were so concerned that your day wouldn't have any Nikki in it that we went to the enormous cost and great effort to assemble this Worst of the Riot moment.
I got some great news for you, Nikki.
What is it?
One of your absolute favorite bacteria strands.
Yes.
Nikki's a big, big fan. I don't know if you guys have been keeping track of E. coli.
That's a good one.
One of our favorites was Nikki spent, she was a lake person this year. She went swimming in the lakes.
I went one time to a lake beach.
That makes you a lake person now.
No, it doesn't.
You're a lake person.
And I did not like
it. You go to the lake.
There was
like
a
when
pregnant...
people say, hey, we're going to the lake, no. Go to the lake.
The first thing I saw when I got out, there was a pregnant lady who was smoking.
Yeah.
And she was like very pregnant.
Yeah.
And I thought, I don't think you're supposed to do that.
So you judged her?
Well, I felt like it was on behalf of the baby. Like, I don't think you are.
I don't think you're supposed
is
to
that
be.
Is that liquor? It's just a bit much. So I did not enjoy and have a calm time at the lake.
You didn't feel good about it?
No, I did not.
All right. Well, you were probably afraid of the E. coli because what Nikki and I found out is like all these lakes this year, there were so... We actually looked at the beach reports and there were... Well, you sound very healthy, so I'm sure...
Maybe I picked... That's where I picked this up.
That's from. What happened. Yeah. You got it from the lake.
I got it from the lake.
So where were we? Oh, yeah. We found out like all these lakes, their beaches were all getting red flags because too much E. coli in the lakes. And they were like, well, how do we get E. coli in the lake? Because people go potty in the lake. But now, and here's the really exciting thing, is that they say there's a strain of E. coli that is now in the United States that is indestructible.
So like a super E. coli?
Well, I hate to use words like super because...
But it's not, it doesn't work with like our antibiotics?
They say that it was resistant to most antibiotic treatment. Makes it, apparently it's not impossible to treat.
But it's just hard.
It's much, much more difficult. So, back in the lake, everybody.
Here's hoping.
Who wants to go for a swim? Exactly what you just said right there.
I think what? If you go swimming, you're supposed to just keep your mouth shut, don't put your head underwater, and wash when you're done?
From what I can tell, I don't think we're supposed to do anything at all. Like, it's, I don't think you're supposed
you'll
to go
get
in the
it
lake.
If you get it?
Yeah. No. What I'm saying is, like, we're not supposed to leave the house.
Oh, yeah, sure. Well, that's obviously number one.
Okay. Well, but the problem with
I shouldn't be using any numbers.
The problem with
and
number two
into it.
Is that it's finding its way into our lakes and streams. Okay. So
you're very welcome.
Yeah.
I hate talking about that stuff. Can't we all just use the designated bathrooms?
Yeah, the lake. That's nature's potty.
That is not it.
It is.
It's not it.
So that's
all right. Well, thanks for telling us.
That's your E. coli update. If I get any more E. coli news,
please pass it along.
Believe me, we're going to be talking about it.
The Riot has a problem with authority.
It's a little rule. Maybe you're not familiar with it. Nobody tells me what to do, ever.
Radio U.
We are controlling transmission.
Riot Control.
So for Riot Control, I've been spending time with Metroid Prime Federation Force.
You had hand movements to go with that.
Yeah, you have to. I feel like you need to punch when you say force. It's on the Nintendo 3DS. We did get a copy from Nintendo. I have been playing it for a while. Metroid Prime Federation Force is a first-person shooter game for the 3DS. Now, I've heard a lot of bad things about it, and there's a lot of bad things circulating about it, and here's the two that I hear. One, this is not a Metroid game. And you know what? That's true. Samus is mentioned briefly, but is not really featured in the game.
That's not what you're used to?
It's not. It feels kind of like a Metroid game, or maybe another kind of game that they bolted Metroid on, hoping that maybe you would give that a shot. I mean, let's face it, worst crimes have been committed in franchises. Have you seen The Bourne Supremacy? Okay, thanks. And then the other thing I keep hearing is that it's not really a single-player game. Metroid Prime Federation Force, and that's true, it's a co-op game. It's a four-player first-person shooter on the 3DS. Now, you can play by yourself. But what you really should be doing is playing with three other people. Now, you can link up with three other people online, but I feel like this is a game that would absolutely shine at its best if you and three friends all had your Nintendo 3DSs, you all had Metroid Prime Federation Force, and you were all playing together in the same room.
The problem is they're asking a lot.
It's a big ask.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Left 4 Dead and Left 4 Dead 2. I love those games. But it's like, you know what? I don't want to play with strangers. If I'm not having a LAN party with friends, it really kind of kills the fun for me a bit. And that's kind of where Federation Force is. Now, okay, what about the rest of it? You know what? This is a first-person shooter on the 3DS, and it works pretty well. You use lock-on targeting, and then you tilt the 3DS for precision aiming. I'm typically not a fan of having to move the 3DS, but you know what? It worked pretty well. The story's okay. You're a part of the Federation Force. and you're getting sent out to solve problems like space pirates and such.
In the world of Metroid.
Yeah, and you know what? Like, the graphics are pretty good. I mean, you keep in mind it's a 3DS game. It's highly stylized. Like, it worked for me. I think it just comes down to this. This is a 3DS game that's okay. And the problem you have here is that you've got two big names attached to it. You've got Metroid and Nintendo. And you think to yourself, like, oh, dude, I love Metroid. I'm going to get this game on the 3DS. I'm going to be playing on the bus. I'm going to be playing in the car. I'm going to be playing in bed. I'm going to be playing in the bathroom. I'm Metroiding everywhere. And that's not really what this is.
So it's easy to be disappointed if you don't go into it knowing it's not going to be that way.
That's not the game you're playing here. First-person shooter on the 3DS. Better played with friends. Now, I did use some of the online connectivity. I did play with some other people, and it does play better. Because the thing is, you'll be playing all by yourself, and it's fine, it's fine. And then, whoa, I'm dead! And it becomes very, very difficult.
You really need the others.
I guess the other side is when playing with four people, sometimes it gets to be a little too easy. So balancing is a bit of an issue. Metroid Prime Federation Force. It's out on the 3DS now. Remember, you can check out more Riot Control at riot.radiou.com. You can subscribe to the podcast, see what else we've been playing.
A morning without the riot.
It sounds crazy, doesn't it?
You couldn't handle it.
Radio U.
Speaking of traveling, I travel a couple of times a year, go on vacation. I've got family on the West Coast, meaning like the Northwest Coast. You can't just drive there.
Oregon.
So air travel. So I looked at a bunch of different options.
Yeah.
And one of the things I've done is I went ahead and got myself a credit card for a particular airline. And so if I do that credit card, I get points, which I don't have enough money flowing through me for that to matter. It's worthless. But the one thing that it is worth, free baggage.
Sure.
I get free luggage.
Oh, if you use the credit card.
And if I travel, I think it's like once a year, it's enough that I still end up saving money despite the fact that it has an annual fee.
Okay.
So this is not an advertisement for this kind of card because I want to explain to you what has happened. That I chose that airline and they are now the most expensive airline that you can possibly travel the route from where I live to where I'm going.
But you have free baggage.
To make it clear, at this point, I'm looking at airfare and I have this Google Flights alert thing set up. Hey, just a side note, like flights.google.com. I found that,
that is the one shining thing out of all this.
That's the one thing you need. You got none of this, like, did you want a hotel? It'll just tell you what it freaking costs to fly. I like that. That's a good thing. But just, you know, I got this credit card, whatever. And this is great. Where we're at right now is it is now twice as much to fly on the airline where I get the free baggage as it could be to fly on the other one, whose program I looked at and decided to pass on. Oh,
sorry about that.
Yeah, so
it's really hard if you have to fly. Your problem is you're flying to a smaller airport.
Even flying into Portland's not cheap.
Well, Portland, it's specific.
Oh, it's specific.
And the smaller the airport is, or the more, like, the less likely most airlines or the bigger ones all go to it, then you, like, they know they have you on it. Like, if I fly into L.A., it's like, okay.
That's what I need.
It's easy. Everyone's going there. It's fine. LAX is cheap compared to if you're going into Portland.
I need family and friends to either move to Minneapolis, Dallas, or L.A.
And then you're perfect. You're perfectly fine.
I'm freaking cold. Or even Las
Atlanta.
Vegas. They
Las
go Vegas, Las Vegas, Atlanta.
Atlanta. You got to get to a hub.
I'll even go for New York City if you want, like that. Okay. Or Chicago.
Phoenix.
There's a lot of options here. But dang. How about small regional airport? That's a good one.
Well, you know, if you could just fly in the luggage.
Okay, and the other thing is, and I realize everybody just, they look at me like I'm a crazy person, but I'm like, hey, I'll fly to Portland, I'll rent a car and drive down. It's a 3-hour drive.
Yeah.
Flying to Portland is often half what it costs to fly into the regional airport. But people think why on this earth would you do that? That's so dumb. When you could just pay twice the price and fly right here. Like, oh, yeah.
Is it more convenient? Well, I'm sorry to hear about your frustration.
Well,
I just open up a credit card with the other one now.
Transfer
the balance.
It's
a game.
Hey, there's
no balance. Okay, you're just using it for the baggage.
At the end of every month, you pay it off.
Okay, that's fine.
I use it for baggage.
What's the yearly fee?
It's like $90. I know.
You're not even flying that much.
I know.
It's just cheaper, honestly, if you just go buy new stuff when you go.
What?
Don't even bring baggage.
I'm not bringing baggage.
Just save your shopping and...
I do laundry once a day.
Get new clothes while you're there.
That ain't no thing.
The Riot with Nikki.
Want to pet my dog? He lives at my house.
The Riot with Obadiah.
How come you're so fat?
The Riot on Radio U.
Yesterday, we shared a sad story. It was a sad one. It was about a woman eating at a McDonald's.
Ah, yes.
Who found a worm in her burger.
Allegedly, she looked
allegedly.
Down in the cheeseburger or something and saw a worm.
I'll tell you what, I got another alleged one that is absolutely striking me to the core of my being. Nicole Eliason. She lives in Indiana. This happened August 25th, all right, 6 days ago. It's going national today. Everybody be talking about it. She went to McDonald's because she wanted a breakfast sandwich.
Yeah.
Who does that sound like?
That sounds like you.
Who does it sound like?
You.
Okay. You know what she had with her breakfast sandwich?
Hash brown?
Diet Coke.
That's you.
Who does that sound like?
That's 100% you.
I know.
So is this Obadiah?
So Nicole, my soulmate. Wait. Nicole?
I know, yeah.
Is it you?
My real name is Nicole.
All right. So, well, with Nikki, it's not a leap.
It's not a huge step off.
All right. Well, Nicole Eliason, she went to the McDonald's at 17650 Village Center Drive in Noblesville, Indiana.
What'd she find?
She got her breakfast sandwich and her Diet Coke.
Yeah.
She's sucking up her Diet Coke, and then she's like, what? So she spits it out. And what do we have in there? But a little wormy that had gotten in her drink.
What's with the worm problem?
I don't know, but wait till you see the worm. When I say
there's a picture.
When I say a little worm, I just want to be clear that I'm not talking about it. I guess the best way to say it is that if it's going in your mouth, I don't think this is little.
So is it almost like it just rained and everybody is...
Maybe.
All the worms are coming out of the grass?
Granted, from the photo, it's hard to get total... No, you can get perspective. That's a large soda from McDonald's.
I'm clicking on it.
Okay, Nikki's getting it. It's freaky.
Oh, now that is just disgusting. Where are these coming from?
That is a big worm.
That has to be placed in there.
Well, that's okay.
Don't you think?
Let's dig in here just
someone's
a little bit.
Someone's got a worm problem and they get kicks out of it at the drive-thru.
Maybe. She went back to the McDonald's, talked to the manager. And, of course, she said she went through a series of managers until all of a sudden she got all the way up to the owner. And the owner was like, look, here's the deal. We're going to take the worm. We're going to send it off to McDonald's corporate. Which is either A, a lie, or B, this happens enough that there's a whole department at McDonald's corporate that the manager knows that he's supposed to send it back to him.
I bet you that is policy. I bet you that's what it is.
So we got that. Then he said, look, what do you want to do here? He said, I don't know what else to make this right for you. He said, I'll give you free Diet Coke for life. He said, you can have as much soda here anytime you want. She's like, I don't want soda from this place
ever. That is her emotionally talking.
He actually, according to her...
You can come back and say you're sorry and you want it again.
According to her, he said to her, listen, when you've had a chance to calm down and think about it, you come back and talk to me and we'll see what we can do.
Hey, nice owner, by the way, on that. But you have to find out if it's real or not. She said that she got the worm and then spit it out on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
But you just want to make sure that it wasn't like, oh, you mean it was from the ground?
Right.
You know, like, where'd it come from?
So she called the health department. She's made a substantial fuss here. And as someone who was not willing to go on record talked to the Indy Star, which is the news organization reporting this, and said that they tested the lines and there's no way
a worm would get
that
in.
A worm could have gotten into the lines. Now, it doesn't mean that an employee didn't put it in the cup. It doesn't mean that it did not come shipped in the actual cup itself and then it made its way out. But as far as like the soda machine, that's not where it came from.
Well, there's a little safety or a little, does it make you feel a little better just knowing that part?
You know what? Here's my problem. I'm going to McDonald's in the dark.
I'm eating
in the dark. I'm not looking at my food. This makes me want to grab my food, pull up, open it up, and I got to pour the Diet Coke out into a clear see-through container, make sure that I've had a good look at it, and then whatever. And we all know I'm not going to do that.
You're just going to drink your Diet Coke?
I'm just going to keep drinking it, acting like everything's fine. Oh, man.
Will the guy give you the free Diet Coke for life?
Ooh, I'm in for that.
The Riot. One more reason to stay in bed. Radio U.
You know, from time to time, you get a peek into a world, and I love this. I really do. I love this. When you get that just glance into a world that you have absolutely no connection to and know nothing about. So when I tell you that they have released the short list of candidates for Wildlife Photographer of the Year.
We have no clue. No idea.
Like, oh, great. I really hope that Hazelstoff is on there.
Does that mean there was a long list?
Apparently. There are enough people out there right now doing wildlife photography that there are some of them that have to be eliminated
from
that photography list.
Yeah. Well, it's its own category. We just have nothing to do with it.
And I hear you. You're like, well, have you seen that picture of that, you know, cat that I put on Instagram? I don't know. It could have been wild. Could have been feral, but it was so cute.
Is there anybody in the list we might know of?
Oh, no way.
Probably not.
There's just no way. Alden Rickardson?
Nope.
No? Okay. Scott Portelli?
No.
All right. Willem Kruger?
Nope. I was hoping there'd be someone. It was Sam, like, oh, no, we know.
Sam Hobson?
No.
Oh, that actually is really cool looking. Imre Potio?
Nope.
Isaac Aylward?
No.
Mario Sia?
No.
Wait, this one features a bat breaking through. Is that breaking through glass? Is that what that is? That looks like a really bad Photoshop or a scene from Batflex upcoming movie. Let's see. This person's name is not featured on this photo. I don't know. And then Daya Shaw?
Yeah, all right. So we don't know any of the wildlife photographers.
Wait. Lance Vandeverver.
No, not even that one.
All right. Well, that's the short list, guys.
I'll wait till they come up with the final list.
Well, it's the 52nd Annual Wildlife Photographer of the Year exhibition at the Natural History Museum in October. 50,000 entries from 95 countries.
Oh, they have, no wonder they had a long list and then a short one.
They had to get the short list. And then, of course, sometime I believe in October, we'll find out who Wildlife Photographer of the Year is. And I'll tell you, I'm holding my breath until then. Because, wow.
We must find out.
Who will it be?
Please keep that.
Riot food fights can be therapeutic.
Sometimes I eat instead of facing my problem.
The Riot on Radio U.
Sometimes you need some Flamin' Hot Cheetos. Now, I want to be clear, I've never experienced that myself. I've never woken up in the morning and said, I have got to have a Flamin' Hot Cheeto.
Well, not to the same degree that you feel like this man must have been having.
Never, Nikki.
Yeah. Like, if you want it, you just...
I don't like Flamin' Hot Cheetos.
Well, also just, I mean, you could put anything there, but if you want something, then you what? You go to the gas station, you go get it.
Yeah. No, sometimes you have to say no. No. Because if I didn't, every morning I'd stop at the gas station for those...
You would always have it.
Man, they have these glazed twist donuts. I think they're the best donuts I've ever had. Honestly, there's something plain about them, but they are magnificent in their plainness. It's just... It's shocking, really. It is. Where? Okay. Can we get focused, please?
So that's your version.
Can we get focused, please?
For this man, Joshua Lee Crook.
His name is Crook.
That's how that works.
It's time to go down to the court and, well, you're going to be down there anyway. It might be time to get the R taken out of there. You could be Joshua Lee Cook.
That would work, too. He's 33 years old. He stopped by a BP gas station in order to pick up some
Flamin' Hot Cheetos.
He really did go in, but he did not feel like he should pay.
Right. So he goes in, and the manager recognizes old Josh and says, look, you either pay for those Cheetos or get out of here right now.
He stole them from him before.
He has. And so Josh leaves the store, and about a minute later...
Here's where it comes in.
This is my favorite part. A minute later, he walks in, grabs the Cheetos, and runs out. I would pay money. I would pay money to get a chance to spend that 60 seconds with Josh between the moment he walked in and or walked out and then walked back in, because a conversation took place in his mind in which he said,
go for it.
It finally ended with him going, I'm getting those Cheetos.
He's going back in.
It finally came down to, I am getting the Cheetos.
Now it escalates even more because the manager confronts him again. Then people start pushing. And then Crook goes and
he punches him in the face
and he runs for then the gas pump and he throws the gas pump on the ground. And then he tries to, he tosses a lit cigarette onto it,
mm-hmm.
trying to start a fire. Thankfully, nothing happened there. So he's been charged with third degree assault, theft and trespassing.
Are you telling me that he wanted a flaming hot BP?
Exactly. He did. Mm-hmm. Now, what's also really great is if you have time to Google Flaming Hot Cheetos crook guy, and this story should pop up for you. You need to see his mugshot, because that is...
It's classic.
The mugshots you might not have noticed, but sometimes they're wearing, like... If you ever go to the dentist and you get x-rays done, so they're wearing, like, say, a jacket over their stuff, or they're being held. That means they're probably spitting, biting, or attacking, and they need to get their picture taken. This man has to have his head forcefully held.
In place.
You see a latex glove holding this guy's jaw and then the back of his head so he can get his picture taken.
Yeah. He was a real joy to work with.
Oh, I bet.
Really enjoyed it.
So he's on $20,000 bond. Bail.
And you know the thing is, you know, he didn't even get to eat the Cheetos. Not really. Not all of them. I mean, it's the kind of thing where we all want Cheetos on some level, and whatever your Cheetos is, but you're better off just going in and paying for it.
You can't act like that.
Yeah. Man, that's 60 seconds where he made up his mind.
He's going back in.
No matter what, I am getting those Cheetos. And then the manager's like, no, you are not getting those Cheetos.
Your morning, but without yelling, laughing, or music.
Don't deprive me of that.
We wouldn't dream of it. It's The Riot on Radio U.
Man, it almost doesn't seem real, but this is true. Massachusetts is thinking about changing time zones.
To what?
So they would go East Coast? Right. So right now they're in East Coast time zone, and they are in their state seriously considering trying to join the other time zone, like one time zone over.
Oh, what would one time zone over be?
Like Greenland or
maybe
something? It is something like that, because there is a fifth time zone, I believe, in Canada, because Canada starts
so
much
it goes
farther.
Over farther. Yeah.
So
why would they want to do that? What a mess.
Wait, is it?
Do they not change?
No, they do. They say in Massachusetts, by the time you get to the peak of the winter solstice or whatever, the sun is setting at 4:15.
Oh, so they want to. Yeah, that's 4:15. And I know you're like, dude, that'd be awesome. That probably gets really old really fast.
4:15?
You wouldn't feel like you'd get anything done during the day.
I mean, if you're a kid, like, you're probably not even off the bus yet. I mean, I used to get off the bus at 4:30.
It'd be dark by then.
It would have been fully dark for 15 minutes by the time you even get off the bus. What the heck, dude? 4:15. So they're saying that, like, basically, well, there are several arguments in place here, but the person who got all of this started has basically come out and said, look, here's what it comes down to. The state of Massachusetts is losing college graduates to other states. You're like, well, that's dumb. Who cares? No. Listen, if you're a college graduate, you probably don't know this, but your state has a vested interest in keeping you in your state. I got a scholarship to go to school.
Yeah.
Just for being someone that stayed in their home state and went to college in their home state. There was scholarship money available for that.
I gotcha.
Because they want you as an educated individual going into their state's workforce. And you're like, well, I can't find a job. Okay, that's a whole other thing.
But this is a deal. Go to Massachusetts.
So this is one of the things they're working on. But dude, that blows my mind. 4:15 for a sunset is crazy.
It's Atlantic Standard Time, which would provide an extra hour between November and March. So that is being proposed now. The governor has signed a bill for a task force to study what would be the effects if Boston and Massachusetts switched over to that time zone.
I'll tell you what I would like to do. I've said it before, but let's say it again. Can we get rid of daylight saving
time? The switch stuff, yes. That's stupid.
Stop it. It's dumb. Like, it just has negative effects galore. And everybody's like, well, the sun will come up earlier. Okay, can we just...
You don't want to get up earlier.
How about some sun in the evening, like when people are doing stuff?
Yeah.
I'm not a farmer. I'm not on the back 40, you know, at 3 a.m. and I need the sun or whatever. Like, just give me...
So at first when I heard this, I thought, well, that's stupid because time zone stuff just gets ridiculous. But especially if you were in Massachusetts, yes, you might need to do something. That's not working for you.
It's rough. Like, I'll tell you what, why don't we do this? Let's abolish all the clocks. We'll just get up when the sun comes up.
When you feel like it, the show, it'll be different. We'll start the show whenever we feel like
it. It's going to be different.
You guys would have that life too.
I think we could all, with a little adjusting, I think we could all really enjoy it. That's what I think.
The Riot sees gas station hot dogs as part of a balanced breakfast.
Is that bad?
Well,
not good.
It's the Riot.
Hey, everybody, it's time to make fun of Nikki again. Get in
it's
here.
It's nothing private nowadays. Nothing sacred.
No.
Does everything have to be a story?
No, I want to hear about it. Eric says that the reason you're still sick is that you can't spit right.
No, I don't have as powerful of a cough to, like, bring up the phlegm that everybody thinks I should. And I've had a lot of, here's a word I hate using, mucus.
Okay.
During this sickness.
And is it moist mucus?
It's infected. Let's just say that. It's infected. So I can't, I have to cough. I mean, I've coughed it up. I've spit it out. I've tried a lot of techniques to make sure I get it out of my lungs.
Now, Eric, you're saying that she can't even spit out the window.
Now, let's watch carefully on this, please.
It feels like she coughs so much because she's not coughing
from
correctly.
The diaphragm.
I need to cough from the diaphragm.
Okay.
To really hit that stuff up and dislodge it. Like, you need to have it's not just sustained. It's got to be a high impact. It's got to be a one and done. And it's out. And that's, otherwise you're just like, you know, kind of blowing a ping pong ball up a hill and you just got to, it just takes too long.
I swear.
And I noticed this because she also can't spit. And she admits this. And like if we're driving around and she, we have to pull over and open the door and drop it out.
It's a girly
spit. I can't spit out the window.
But
I cannot spit out.
The other day I did try to get her to spit
yelling
out the window.
Do it! He's like, spit out the window!
It was an encouraging yell. I thought you could do it. I was happy.
He believed in you.
I said, just try it. Come on.
And I tried it. And what happened?
It got all over your right shoulder. Didn't even exit the vehicle.
I had to change my shirt.
The wind
when I
was
got home.
Such that it just drizzled on your shirt.
I can't get speed out.
A big, ugly phlegm spider on your shoulder.
Yeah, that's what it was. I can't spit enough to get it to clear the window.
Okay. Well, you know, we all have our thing.
Yeah, and this is me.
This is you. Well, I'll tell you, here's what I want to do, guys. And I mean, I'm not going to, you don't have to answer now, but this is something that I think we should think about. I think that once you get better, all right, we're going to get you on like a total core workout so that what I'm saying is that
I got to work on that power.
Well, because we want it, you're going to be able to drive from that diaphragm, as Eric is saying, up through the lungs. And then the other thing is, I think we got to get you in a spitting class.
I do. I have to learn. I don't know if it's just something with my mouth, but I can't. I panic.
I'd listen to the ride, but there's a problem with your mouth.
Yeah, well, I am mouthy. That is one thing. But I don't think that has anything to do with.
Here's your homework. 2 slices of watermelon. Each seed goes over 6 feet.
Now, I feel pressured.
That's perfect.
I do have watermelon at home.
You do have to. And the thing is, a lot of times, I think the big mistake you make is you're going to think that you're going to spit from the tip of your lip.
Through your teeth.
All right. What you want to do is, I think it's more like proper tongue placement and then a.
Well, see, that's the air control I don't have.
But again, Nikki, as Eric said, you got to drive from down here. You got to feel here and push up. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
Okay. All right.
I think this make a great video.
Teaching Nikki how to spit.
I
would watch that.
I got to stop spitting on myself.
Okay, yeah. So, see, I mean, like, this is identifying.
Until then, we got to pull over to the side of the road and I got to spit out the door.
Which is why you're late all the time, because you're constantly pulling over to spit.
And I can't even spit out the side of the window door then. I have to open up the door and spit down.
You can't even get up over the door?
No,
I panic.
It just drops out of her mouth.
That's
not spitting, that's drooling.
Apparently.
When you're just letting gravity do the work, that's not even spitting anymore.
I just panic.
Anxiety?
Yes.
Like, you're like, it's time to spit.
I'm very anxious about it, because I know I'm going to spit on myself, and I don't want to, but everybody's watching, and I can't do it. Well, and there's not a lot I can't really do, and this falls under that category.
It's like it just can't happen.
Well, just can't do it.
The thing is, like, when you're coughing so loud, of course everybody's watching.
Yeah, they're all waiting for me to fall over.
Everybody over here! Hey! Look at me!
Two. But two.
Give me a new shirt.
All right. Well, you know what? I honestly, I wish you guys would just install cameras everywhere because I feel like I'm missing the best stuff.
We'd have a fun show, I think.
I'm missing the best stuff.
It's the Riot.
I really didn't like it. It just bothered me.
Radio U.
You know what I always tell people when they're, whether they're starting a workout or even if they've been working out for a long time, that when you get into the gym, you don't have anything to prove. Because what I find, especially if you either have never worked out or you're just working out for like the first time in a long time, is you go into the gym and you have something to prove. A lot of times you've gone into the gym because maybe you feel a little weak or you feel like you need to get in shape or whatever. And so you want to prove to yourself, I'm not as weak as I thought I was. Or maybe you want to prove to other people that are watching, I'm not as weak as you think I am. And so then with this something to prove, you take on something that's way too much.
That you're not ready for.
And then you're not going to be back in the gym for like a month because like you have seriously hurt yourself, or at the very least.
It was disheartening because it wasn't what you wanted it to be.
Yeah. Something to prove is a bad chip to wear on your shoulder. It's a bad thing to take to school with you. It's a bad thing to take to work with you. It's a bad thing to take to the gym, as we've mentioned. It's a bad thing to take anywhere because when you've got something to prove to yourself or somebody else, it's going to lead to you doing something really, really stupid. Here's what I love. When it comes to God, you don't have anything to prove. And I'll tell you why. God knows you inside and out. All the stuff that you've managed to not show anybody else, fully aware. Okay? This guy knows. You can't put on some big front when it comes to having a relationship with Jesus. I mean, you can, and you can try, and he's like, yeah, okay. But God knows you 100%. And here's the great thing. He loves you. A lot of time when we're trying to prove something, we're trying to win our own love, we're trying to win the love and respect of the people that we're trying to prove it to. With God, you have nothing to prove. He already knows the whole story. He already loves you just the way you are. And just kind of like walking into the gym, he loves you the way you are, but I'll tell you what, with nothing to prove, when you go in there day in and day out, you'll be amazed that all of a sudden things are going to get a little better. You're going to change a little bit. You're going to see good things happen as a result of that. Spending time with God is like that. So look, stop trying to prove stuff. Stop trying to prove stuff to yourself, to other people, and start a relationship with somebody that you don't have anything to prove to. And I'll tell you, you do that with God. You realize that you can be 100% upfront and honest with God and accept Jesus into your life. And what I've found is that chip on your shoulder that says, I have something to prove, God's going to help you brush that right off everywhere else in your life. Just say, Jesus, I need that. I feel like I've got something to prove, but I don't, I guess. I want you to come into my life. I want you to fill me with your spirit. And I want to show you to show me a different way to do things. Talk to God about what's going on in your life. And remember, you don't have anything to prove.
A long, egocentric tirade from Obadiah, disguised as a Worst of the Riot clip? Sure, we have lots of those. Here's another one.
So the people at TomTom have come up with a new, technologically advanced way to tell you how fat you are.
I have not heard of TomTom in some time. Is that the...
They're the GPS people, right?
Yeah,
but like it's the been original a while. GPS people.
Way back before everything else had GPS.
Like when nobody was doing GPS, people would be like, I've got my TomTom. And now you're like, I have a phone. I don't even know everything it does.
Like, I've got it all right here.
I've got location services on, though. It's giving me what the weather's going to be a year from now.
But before that was all, like, incorporated, TomTom was a company.
Yeah. So TomTom yesterday unveiled all of these new fitness trackers that are going to be out next week.
Where they can get some more money since they don't have the market on navigation.
Mm-hmm. But check this out. They say that, okay, it'll monitor your heart rate continuously. It'll help you count your calories and the steps that you take. And I believe that it also, all right, well, not the base level, but then they also have GPS watches that you can have.
Oh, for fitness tracking?
Right, but it will also do the other stuff like the heartbeat monitoring and stuff. But here's the thing. This says it's going to tell you your body fat composition.
Can your thing do it?
I've seen scales do that where they're like, step on the scale and it will tell you what your body fat composition is. So
I thought that tech was more like on a a bigger scale.
See, what this reminds me of is, does anybody remember that lawsuit for the Fitbit where they're like, yeah, it keeps track of your sleeping?
That's no, what, it did not.
And it didn't? That's what this feels like. We're like, it'll give you body fat thing. So you're at, see, you're at 32%, we guess. I don't know.
Looks like it.
You look fat.
They're just basically guessing based on a formula with your weight and stuff.
Yeah, well, the way the scales work is it's some kind of like low level electric current or something like that that it actually shoots through your body, and it has to do with like you have to tell it how tall you are and a couple of other factors, and there's a formula for it. So like however much the current degrades between like 1 foot to the next and all that kind of stuff, they're supposed to be able to give you not an exact number but kind of a ballpark. But I don't know how it works on your wrist.
Okay, so this is a watch.
It's a wrist.
I didn't
wrist.
Know if it was just a clip-on thing or something.
No, think Fitbit. It looks exactly like a Fitbit, if you know what that is. It looks like a very thin watch that you wear, and it's going to count your steps, tell you how fat you are, help you count calories.
Aww. Thanks, Tom. We need more of those.
Yeah. It's $130 to be discouraged daily.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. And you wear that.
Not encouraged, but discouraged.
And it's worn, we've got several colors that you can choose from. So just think about this. You could have more than one.
You can match your outfit.
Yeah. And people will be like, what is that? It's like, oh, it's here to remind me that I have a problem. So you want one? $130. No big deal. Or I could just tell you what I think of you.
Oh, that might hurt more.
You don't want that. But that is free.
Chainsaw, pickaxe, shotgun, ammo, flashlight, pipe bomb, Twinkie. What am I missing? The Riot Radio U.
Yo, guys, Nikki has a problem.
I do not. I only watch him every so often with you in this room.
Every time one of them comes up, Nikki's like, oh, I gotta watch this.
Well, and it's
like
gross.
The pus-filled boil video. And this one was a guy's girlfriend removes a cyst from his face.
It is nasty.
It looks like...
What was in there?
It looked to me like some weird combination of rotten cottage cheese and ABC's and 1-2-3's with meatballs.
The first part of that description made it so worse. Little lightheaded from that.
It looked like she was squeezing rotten cottage cheese out of this guy's face.
It's just nasty, and it was just his girlfriend. She was.
You guys would think that I would be the one watching this. Like, hey, Nikki, check it out. Nikki is applying negative peer pressure to me to watch these videos.
Well, I want you to be a part of the experience.
Ew.
And as someone, I mean, I'm fighting bronchitis, and I want to watch something where someone has something worse at that moment. His cyst on his face is way worse.
No, I agree with that.
Way, way worse.
I completely agree with that. What's going on there? Is
worse.
Way worse than what you have going on over there.
How do you get a cyst like that?
I don't know.
In your skin.
But I know that I'm going to start taking more showers and scrubbing a lot
harder.
Scrubbing
your face?
And I don't know if that's the answer, but I sure hope that's the answer. Are you okay? You think you have
Excuse
a cyst?
Me. Pardon me.
We need to cut you open and see if we can find one. It's disgusting. And I just want to say thanks to Nikki, who has... I'm not going to eat today. Like, I'm pretty much done
well,
now.
It says in one of the descriptions, it takes 10 minutes to get the cyst out. And
10 minutes of this guy getting his face dug around in.
It's a buildup of protein, is what they're saying.
I eat protein.
So I don't know where that goes wrong.
Oh, it's bad, dude.
And people are saying... This is not done in the way that it necessarily should have been. The guy said he could not have gone to a doctor. So a true cyst, the only way you can really effectively get rid of it, because you have to get to like the very heart of
it. The thing.
Is in a doctor's office, because a lot of times people, if you watch a lot of these videos online, they're not really cysts.
Yeah.
Or they're not really getting it all out, even though they think they are, so it just comes back.
Yeah. So this guy, it's going to come back, you think? What are you doing to yourself? I hate to see you suffer. Why are you making yourself suffer by watching this?
I have no idea.
She just keeps watching it. I'm amazed. Okay, we sit down and watch something, Stranger Things, and Nikki's like, it's scary. I have to go to bed.
No, it wasn't scary. It was just intense.
Okay, fine.
It was not scary.
This guy getting his face hacked off to get the cyst out, and Nikki's like,
this is medical.
Oh, this is okay.
This is medical.
Yeah, and then somebody says urinal, and she starts running for the hills.
That
like,
is
don't
a weird,
say it!
That's a weird word.
Don't say it!
I don't like that word.
You know what? I'm holding back. We're just going to stop here.
Our worst is better than their best. It's the worst of the riot on Radio U.
This is what it's come to, guys. This is all. This is where the riot ends. It just ends with us finding the grossest thing we can
online
on YouTube and just watching it.
And sharing it with you.
And then eventually we just break down. So here it is. You ready?
Well, first, Brian sent this through Radio U Riot on our Facebook page, so you can see it there.
All right. So here is this video. Here's a little bit of it.
In there. My mother used to put poop in a jug.
Yep.
Don't share all of it.
Okay, so it's...
That's the main gist of it.
So the whole video that now Nikki and I, we're not even sitting across from each other now. Now we're sitting together over there. It's like we've just abandoned even pretending that we're working.
Watching all these terrible videos.
Watching this. Now, I did some research. This is from Hoarders Season 6, Episode 4.
I've watched this episode.
What?
I like to watch Hoarders.
Oh my gosh. Because when
I
you have a problem.
No, when I watch Hoarders, I then go clean afterwards. Like it makes me reflect.
It's part of your purging?
Yeah, just to make sure, like, okay, if you want to do a spring clean, watch a couple, like a marathon.
Of Hoarders and then
of Hoarders.
Like,
and I promise you, you will want to keep nothing in your life.
Yeah, I believe that.
For fear that you might become and develop a problem like
I've
this
got
lady.
I got a closet that could use a real...
Well, watch an episode
real
and
round
I
of attention.
Promise you, you won't want to keep a thing.
I believe you. I do. Because
you're like, what will tip me over in my life to then make you hoard what some other people do?
Yeah. Well, when you get a good look at this...
This lady's clueless, too, because it's her mom who started it, and then she, a lot of times with hoarding.
It's a family thing.
It's a family thing. So then, but yet they don't see that totally.
Mm-hmm.
They still blame the original person who started it.
So this lady's house is full of bottles of that. And then she has a bucket, and she empties the bucket into a little thing, and then she pours it out. And then without washing her hands, she goes and eats soup.
And at the end, she's like, she was legitimately, well, I mean, I think she's lying, but
she's
trying to play
it up for the cameras.
She's trying to play it off like, you mean that's the smell?
She
thought it was mold and mildew.
She has a mold problem.
Yeah, and it's like, you mean it's not dust? It's a poop smell? And she's shocked. And the guy's like, no, you really don't know that?
I got to tell you, Brian, thanks for taking us down to this level,
thank
dragging us all
so
the way down.
Thank you so much for sharing.
Because I thought the pus video, I was like, well, you know what? That's it. This is as bad as it gets. But it's like, no, bro.
There's lower.
No, we're going to take you down a little bit lower.
Well, send anything else you want. Radio U Riot on Facebook. We've got the rest of the show, so we'll take a break for Nolan. But outside of that,
we can just keep watching these videos.
Sky's the limit.
Yeah.
Let's see what we can find.
Is Hoarders on Netflix?
Hoarders, yes. Yes, yeah. It is.
Well, if not, people have uploaded just whole episodes on YouTube, so I guess you're set that way.
You can
either
find
way.
It somewhere.
Yeah. So again, thanks,
you
want to
clean the studio? We have a closet, a little...
We do.
A drawer
we
over
do.
Here.
I, my
that thing
is
can
like,
get cleaned out.
There's a couple of jugs in here that I'm a little concerned about, too, but... Maybe we'll talk about that off air.
From old DJs.
Getting out of your bed is a huge mistake.
You know what? Just stay in there. It's not that great out here. Stay in there as long as you can.
This is The Riot on Radio U.
Hey, who wants to go to Kmart today? Anybody?
Are there still Kmarts, or just depends on the area that you're at?
That's a great question. I don't know. I take that back. I do know where there is a Kmart. It is 2 hours from here. So if you want to hop in...
So maybe
let's
depending
go.
On your area, you might have a ton, and then other areas you might have none.
All right. Well, Kmart is experimenting in DePlain, a town between Chicago and Hoffman Estates, Illinois, which is where Sears is actually headquartered. Okay.
Sears is headquartered?
Yeah, because Sears owns Kmart.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, they bought them, I don't remember how long ago, but that's why you can find Craftsman Tools inside Kmart. But they bought Kmart, so they're experimenting. They have this new Kmart that is like it's an experimental store where they say it is a millennial focused Kmart. You ready? Here's some of the stuff they've done.
Sell Chipotle and beer?
The customer wine and thick rimmed glasses.
That's about it.
So they have a customer service desk that has now been rebranded as the Happy to Help Center.
Yeah, fine.
Okay. They have a store for kids that can shop with parents' points in the Shop Your Way Rewards program.
Okay.
All right. A personal shopping service called Shopperazzi, where customers can give Kmart a shopping list and pick up their purchases later.
Are you sure this is for millennials?
I'm telling you what they said.
What they said, okay.
Okay. If they're out of touch, just remember, they are Kmart.
That is their thing. All right. Well, maybe there's something else.
A selection of items at low prices, some as cheap as $1, in a section called the Isle of Wow.
All right.
Yeah? Yeah?
Yeah, okay. maybe.
A section with fresh groceries and a selection of candy from local companies.
Yeah, maybe.
Locally sourced?
Sure.
Yes, Eric? What?
They sound like such tryhards. Oh! Everything. Yeah. And then the Happy Help Center sounds like a Japanese talk show title.
It actually does. Coming up later on Happy to Help, they have to jump
Welcome
up and down.
Welcome to the Happy Help Center.
Hot sauce and razor blades or something.
That'd be a show. Now that we could watch.
I would watch that show.
But sure. I don't want to go to the Happy Help Center. Yep. I don't want to be like they're forcing the happy part.
Yeah.
So.
Well, my thing is, if you really wanted to target people, it should be something like the meh.
That should
help
be
center.
The kiosk center.
Yeah, just go up to the meh. Like, hey, can I get some help with this?
Meh. Just here, touch this over there and you're fine.
It's like, hey, it's the meh line. It's where your returns are. I bought this, but I want to take it back. Whatever. So I think, do you think they have a Little Caesars pizza in this one?
We used to have a Kmart that had a Little Caesars in it.
Yeah, we did.
I never went to it. Only you guys would.
Yeah. Oh.
See never what you had did a there? Chance to go there.
Well, I want you to know we did go there, and they tore it down.
They tore the whole thing down.
Yeah, they did.
Now, if you think the Happy Health Center should be the meh, how enthusiastic are the Shopperazzis?
Yeah, I got your stuff, whatever.
I think it's there.
I think it's there. Is that going to fit you?
Wait, it's... I don't know. It's a
it
medium.
It doesn't look good.
I just pulled the one. It's fine. If you don't like it, go back to the med line. You take it back.
I don't think it'll work.
Some people think coffee is overrated. Then again, some people think Gotham is a good show.
Right on me.
It's The Riot on Radio U.
Nikki, this may not mean as much to you as it does to me. But this is a pretty big deal, all right?
I can tell it is.
This morning on the show, we've got Nolan North on the phone.
Yeah.
And let me just help you. This is one you'll know. Nolan North is the voice of Nathan Drake from Uncharted.
Yes! Okay, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's to me, that's
I get
the
that one.
I mean, if you go to his IMDb, he's had about 4,000 to 5,000 different roles that he's been a part of. Like, he's done a ton of stuff, but like... That's the one that, to me, I'm like, I got Nathan Drake on the phone.
That's perfect.
Shut up.
That's perfect.
So again, yeah,
don't get too carried away because all those IMDb things were put on by my mom.
Oh, yeah, I know. She just wanted to make sure it really looked good.
Well, she's very
That's
proud
right.
of you. She is very proud.
Well, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing well. Good. It's a pleasure to be with you guys. Yeah, this is a lot of fun.
Like, let's just get back and find out a little bit about you. We're going to be talking about Con Man. There's the web series. They've got a game that's out now on phones. But how did you get started doing voice stuff for video games? Where do you even kick that off?
You know, it's just people always wonder if it's, you know, some kind of a magic thing. I love when people ask me, "Hey, do you always want to do voices in games?"
Yeah.
And I'm just the age where there were no voices in games.
Sure.
You know, Tetris and Pong and that kind of stuff didn't have voices. But
yeah.
No, it just was. You know, I was on a show. I did stand up in theater in New York, and then I moved to California, and I was on a TV series for about a few years, and then when that went off the air, you know, you just. You know, I had a family, and we, you know, I had to pay the bills, and you know, people always say, you know, you're always cutting up between takes, doing voices, and messing with people. You should look into cartoons and that kind of thing. And you know, cartoons at the time and any time, it's a tough racket to break into that. But games were starting to get popular, and most of the people I knew in voiceover were like, you don't want to do games, you don't want to yell grenade and get down all for 4 hours. But, you know, they're at the time, they're saying there's $700 on across the town just to go yell, frag out and get back. And, you know, basically I was like, yeah, I'm up for that. That's a lot easier than, you know, painting houses or doing anything else. You know, and then I just started doing it. I liked it. I enjoyed it. And, you know, one thing leads to another. Then games become bigger and badder and better. And then they started incorporating motion capture, you know. So, and, you know, my on-camera experience, people like that. The idea that, oh, here's a guy that does voices and he can do on camera and here we are talking to you.
All right. Well, this
is... Well, put this on your IMDb.
Obviously.
So, yeah. This will be a highlight.
We are talking to Nolan North. As I told Nikki, you might know him as the voice of Nathan Drake, but he's done a lot of other work as well, including for Con Man. You were actually in Con Man, the web series.
Yeah, absolutely. And we just finished up season two. I'm speaking, you know, Alan Tudyk has got plans for, hopefully, you know, we're hoping for a third season and beyond. But, yeah, you know, the funny thing is people always say that, and at the risk of sounding like Andy Serkis, I'm not just the voice of Nathan Drake.
Okay.
I am the body. That's right.
And normally those two are not combined when it comes to voice work.
Exactly. Well, here's the interesting thing is, you know, Alan Tudyk was actually supposed to be in Uncharted 4, and we started actually working together on it. And this character that I play, Jerry Lansing, who is a character I actually made up, just goofing around between takes for the last, you know, during Uncharted.
Uh-huh.
And Alan saw me doing this, and it was basically my mix of, you know, Ted Knight from Caddyshack and, like, William Shatner. You know, just this, how you doing, this overbearing, you know, just big ego-minded guy who, you know, I always said, yes, I made my first mocap suit out of cat hair when I was shooting an episode of Mannix. You know, just, you know, crazy, crazy stuff. And Alan just said, where's this coming from? And I said, oh, I'm just goofing around. And he said, I have a script I want you to read. And he sent me a script. He said, just look at this role. It was a different character's name. And he said, just put that character in there and see what you think. And, you know, the rest is history. It's a really cool, it's amazing that Nathan Drake and that you know, voiceover has led to more on-camera stuff.
Then off.
Yeah, it's been a great ride.
You're not just doing motion capture and voice work these days. You're also a producer. I know the Con Man mobile game came out about a week ago, but you helped produce that.
Yeah. You know, just because of my big following with the gaming community and, you know, the producers during the shooting of Con Man, you know, Alan's been a good friend of mine, and Nathan's a friend, and PJ Harzma, our executive producer, you know, he said, you know, I think your input would be invaluable, which, you know, that's still yet to be seen, but
you just went with it.
Said, you know, he said, I felt it would be, you know, a good idea to, you know, show them what I'm about and what I can do and, you know, bring in that audience. And, you know, we're planning on, you know, Nathan Drake and PlayStation was a big hit in Europe and the Middle East, and I have a lot of fans over there, and so I'm going to tap into those fans, hopefully, and get them on board with this. It's been fun, because I always, you know, doing voices and then, you know, meeting other writers, the developers, and I always, you know, kind of yearn to be able to have more input into a game and see things. So, you know, I got to go up to Quebec City, to Frima, to see them, how they make the game, and, you know, we get our development kits, and, you know, they'll send updates and tests, and you go back in and you're playing things, and, you know, this just being able to have input it's pretty special, especially for someone who's done so many games but never been that part of it in that capacity. So
before,
I'm pretty excited.
Yeah, Nolan's the boss now. You can call him Mr. North, okay?
yeah, I think I can fire people if I really
you
wanted.
Could. You could. If you didn't like them, I'm sure they would.
yeah. I don't know if they'd appreciate that because, you know, I'm probably the weakest link in the chain. But
still, you'd cause problems.
You know, still. Yeah, exactly.
Don't admit that. Like, if you don't tell people, they don't have to know. It's fine.
Exactly, right?
We're talking to Nolan North, one of the producers on Con Man, the game. It's actually out for Android and iOS now. It is free, and I will tell you, I have been playing it. I have been running my own science fiction convention.
You have? Why didn't you tell me this?
Well, Nikki, I just feel like I like to focus on you.
Sure.
So
you just didn't. You didn't want to worry.
We could
me.
Do a Nikki Con.
Yeah.
We're doing a Nikki Con.
Yeah. A lot of people would come to that.
You actually could, Nikki.
Yeah.
the lines. You just sign some pictures.
We'd be out the door. That's right.
keep it tasteful.
Of course.
It's a lot of fun. You know, we meet so many people at these conventions, and the idea of letting them build their own, manage their own, using all these the Con Man show's characters, you know, and there'll be more updates and things to do in the game as time moves on. So You know, the only step now is to get like Schwarzenegger to start doing commercials for it.
Well, you know what, dude? You're...
Or Christoph Waltz. We'll do, or maybe I'll just do the voice of Schwarzenegger and Christoph
Waltz.
Yeah,
you could just do it that way.
Do spoof. I think it'd be great. Do some spoof commercials. I'm in.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what.
Download now for your app. One-man game.
See? Perfect.
Perfect. And you're the producer, so you can make that happen.
You can make that call.
Well, I'm one of them. I'm one of a team. PJ Harsman, Alan Tudyk, and Nathan Fillion, and actually Felicia Day. They're all of us, you know, we're all friends, and everyone has kind of input into that arena. So it's a very big collaborative effort. And, we just want to get the word out to as many people and hopefully have a successful game, you know?
Aww.
Right on.
Well, I will remind people, too, with Alan Tudyk, we had a chance to talk to him when they were raising money for comedy and stuff. So you can find that through riot.radiou.com if you ever want to pull that interview back up. He's a great guy, too.
Well, Mr. Nolan North, thank you so much for making time for the Riot this morning, man. We appreciate it.
Hey, I appreciate it. Thanks for getting the word out for us. And I will keep putting on the motion capture suit.
Yes, please do.
Creating, yes. Well, you know, it's very snug, but, you know.
Wait.
It's snug, it's form-fitting.
Do you have any top secret projects that you can tell us about? Just one mention? Just something?
A little something?
Yeah, do you hate my children? Do you want me to lose my... My latest game is called NDA.
Yes.
Non-disclosure agreement.
Yes, exactly. And it's not worth risking that. It is not worth it.
I mean...
I will just say this. There are a few new titles that I'll be working on, and it's going to be very, very cool.
That's like, did Nikki tell you about me hating your kids?
Whatever.
Well, join the club. There's a long list of them.
All right, hey, again, thanks for your time. We wish you all the best.
Hey, thanks so much, guys. Have a great day.
You too. Right. Hang tight.
Nikki, that's Nolan North!
I know. You're so excited. He's such a nice guy.
I love it.
And again, Alan's interview posted at riot.radiou.com if you want to learn more, obviously, about the game as well, too.
It's the worst of the Riot, because calling it the best of the Riot would be a lie. Radio U.
Hudson's in this morning for Nikki, who 100 years ago might have actually been dead.
Well, I think we can all probably say that.
You know what? To a certain extent, we totally could. So I've got here this list of diseases that were killing people 100 years ago. But let's start with what's happening right now first.
Okay.
If you look at stuff that was killing us, or is like the top causes of death now, at number 5, you've got stroke.
Okay.
Number 4 are accidents. Car accidents, plane, whatever, nuclear explode, what accidents.
Right.
Stuff. Okay. Number 3, where'd you go? Chronic lung disease.
Okay.
Number 2, cancer. Number 1, heart disease.
All right. So heart disease ahead of cancer right now.
Yeah, it's
You wouldn't think that, I don't think.
Well, you know what it is? It's too many Twinkies.
Yeah, right.
And you're living for a really long time.
Yeah,
so those Twinkies slowly building up, eventually.
Right.
Get ya. All right? But these are the top 5 ways that you would have died 100 years ago. Number 5, Bright's disease. It's a kidney disease.
All right.
All right? Number 4, heart disease. See, I didn't think heart disease made the list, but it did.
Still up there.
Yeah, okay. Let's see. Number 3, pneumonia.
Okay. That's something you don't usually die from today, for sure.
They think that Nikki has, or at least at one point, they said that she had bronchitis, maybe pneumonia.
Oh, okay. So you're right. She might not have made it 100 years ago.
She's on the list.
They might not have caught it till it was too late.
Mm-hmm. Number 2 was tuberculosis.
Okay.
And then... 100 years ago, in 1901, so 115 years ago, the leading cause of death, diarrhea.
No way!
The leading cause of death was diarrhea.
This is just your joke, right? Like, all this other stuff sounded real, and then diarrhea number 1.
This is it. This means that 115 years ago, Taco Bell was killing people. Like, straight up, they would have wiped out the majority of North America if Taco Bell had existed 115 years ago.
It's true. I like thinking of, like, I don't know, were cowboys around in the early 1900s?
Absolutely, right?
Because I just like to think of, like, a cowboy, like, they're all sitting around the campfire or whatever. He's like, oh, guys, I'm not feeling very good. He goes to the bathroom and he never comes back.
He just dies.
Yep, that's it.
That's it. It knocked him out. Well, I think... if you just think about it, like, that's one of those things now that we're just like, ha, 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 take this pill.
Yeah.
No big deal. 100 years ago, it'd been like, oh, no.
Yeah.
They've got the diarrhea, and that would have been it. You could have died from that. It would have been so serious.
Yeah.
So serious. And now we're just like, yeah, whatever. Have some Imodium.
If that's the case, you would think that, like, ghosts would be haunting Pepto-Bismol because they did, you know, because they wish they would have had that when they were alive.
Man, think about
that. Early death.
Something like Pepto gets invented and it starts saving lives.
Yeah.
It's like, it is the butt of all kinds of jokes now.
Right.
But back then it was like, my God, this is a miracle. We're safe. Look at all the lives we can save with this. It's like, wait, what? That?
Right.
Now imagine a world for real. What if heart disease or cancer was like that?
Right.
What if we come up with something that in 100 years, they're like, people used to die of cancer? What?
Yeah.
Now you just take some cancer AD.
Right.
And it ain't no big deal. Dude, that would be an awesome world, right?
Let's get there. Let's make it happen.
Could happen.
It's the riot.
Yeah, it's pretty violent. Yeah, it's pretty gory. It's probably not for kids. But fun? Ho, ho, yeah.
Radio U.
It is the riot on Radio U. 877-2-RADIO-U. Call or text. You know where Hudson and I are. You also know where Harambe is.
Hmm.
Yeah. And he's in gorilla heaven. Or wait, he was a gorilla, right?
He's a gorilla.
Okay.
A lowland, I think.
Wow.
Was it lowland or silverback? Those are the only two gorillas I know.
I don't know, but you already sound way more educated about gorillas than I am. So whatever.
No, just Harambe.
Whatever you say to me, I'm going to believe it because I don't have anything to counter it with. So what else you got in there?
Well, this isn't really... At the Philadelphia Zoo, they have a baby gorilla, and they have a contest to name it.
Yes, yes. We talked about it yesterday.
Yeah, what's the deal with that?
The internet's going crazy, right? Well, the Cincinnati Zoo came out and asked everybody, like, hey, did you guys stop with all the Harambe internet stuff? Could you guys stop, like, with the memes and stop calling us names and, like, just being mean about it? Could you guys stop already? Well, the internet's not done with Harambe.
No, I feel like the internet's like, we'll show you. You want us to stop? Oh, no, no, no.
The last thing you want to do is ask the internet to stop.
Absolutely.
It's never going to happen.
Yeah.
So right now on Kickstarter, they've launched these Harambe shot glasses.
Okay.
And they're exactly what you think they are. They're little 1 ounce glasses that you take, you know, liquor shots in.
Yeah.
Right? And they say on them, take a shot for Harambe. He took one for you. And their goal was to raise $1,500. They've now raised $35,000.
Of course they have.
$35,000. Okay. Now, I wonder, you got to hear the description. Gorilla or human, all lives matter. If a Kickstarter could have saved Harambe's life, we would have exceeded that goal with more dollars than the Clinton and Trump campaigns combined. But we can't. Because on May 28th, 2016, Harambe was shot. Harambe took a shot for you. Now we must take a shot for him.
Right.
It's what he would have wanted. We've designed these commemorative shot glasses in his honor and currently have a manufacturer set. Now... we must pull together for Harambe. Since Harambe's humble sacrifice, the internet has been in mourning. The news, Reddit, righteous social media accounts, and accurate memes covered his story, but no one could cover Harambe from that bullet. Thus, at every party, we must take a shot for our deceased homie. I love the "we must"
right.
Take a shot. For our deceased homie.
This is the way that Harambe wants his memory to be honored.
Oh, yeah. I have no doubt if he could speak, he would have just been like, I want all my homies to pour one out for me.
As he was lying there,
right.
His last moments, he signed or something.
He's like, pour one out for me.
Yeah.
This is it.
Make sure everybody takes a shot.
I mean,
for me,
you couldn't donate to the zoo. You couldn't donate to like a gorilla preserve somewhere. Instead, you're going to take your grief and channel it and push it into the Harambe shot glass so you can go ahead and take one for
him. It makes total sense.
Yeah. So, I mean, we could have set up a Kickstarter for like a Save the Gorillas fund.
Yep.
No one's giving to that. But if you can get a shot glass out of it, you're in.
Yeah.
You're in.
I feel like at least if the gorilla, you know, saved the gorilla's Kickstarter, they should have combined them.
So you would save the gorillas and get a shot glass.
You get a shot glass. That would actually make people want to donate, I guess.
Well, obviously, this is the answer. Like, the Radio U Fall fundraiser's coming up. We should ditch the shirts. We should have shot glasses.
Radio U shot glasses.
Like, pour one out for Radio U shot glass. Now we're at $35,000.
Right.
We have exceeded our goal by 28 times the asking amount.
It makes sense. If you ever go to any gift shop anywhere, it's the one thing they have.
That actually is true.
And I always wonder who buys them. But apparently there's a large market for this.
Gorilla lovers, dude. They all love those shot glasses.
Remember when we said things couldn't get any worse? We were wrong. It's the worst of the riot on Radio U.